Okay, homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dhamma, and homage to the Noble Sangha. Today, meditation is about Sila Sutta. Venerable Mahakotita said to Venerable Sariputta, friend Sariputta, what are the things that a virtuous monk should carefully attend to? Friend Kotita, a virtuous monk should carefully attend to the five aggregate subject to clinging, as impermanent, as suffering, as a disease, as a tumor, as a dart, as misery, as an affliction, as alien, as disintegrating, as empty, as non-self. What five? The form aggregate subject to clinging, the feeling aggregate subject to clinging, the perception aggregate subject to clinging, the volitional formation aggregate subject to clinging, the consciousness aggregate subject to clinging. The virtuous monk should carefully attend to these five aggregate subject to clinging, as impermanent, as suffering, as a disease, as a tumor, as a dart, as misery, as an affliction, as alien, as disintegrating, as empty, as non-self. When friend, the virtuous monk carefully attend thus to these five aggregate subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize the fruit of stream mentally. But friends, Sariputta, what are the things that a monk who is a stream enterer should carefully attend to? Friend Kotita, a monk who is a stream enterer should carefully attend to the five aggregate subject to clinging, as impermanent, as suffering, as a disease, as a tumor, as a dart, as misery, as affliction, as alien, as disintegrating, as empty, as non-self. When friend, a stream enterer carefully attend to attend thus to these five aggregate subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize the fruit of one's returning. But friend Sariputta, what are the things that a monk who is a one's returner should carefully attend to? Friend Kodita, a monk who is a one's returner should carefully attend to the five aggregate subject to clinging, as impermanent and up to as non-self. When friend, the one's returner carefully attend thus to these five aggregate subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize the fruit of non-return. But friend Sariputta, what are the things that a monk who is a non-return should carefully attend to? Friend Kodita, a monk who is a non-return should carefully attend to the five aggregate subject to clinging, as impermanent, as suffering, and as non-self. When friend a non-return carefully attend to these five aggregate subject to clinging, it is possible that he may realize fruit of arahantship. But friend Sariputta, what are the things that a monk who is an arahant should carefully attend to? Friend Kotita, a monk who is an arahant should carefully attend to the five aggregate subject to clinging, as impermanent, as non-self. For the arahant friend, there is nothing further that has to be done, and no repetition of what he has already done. However, when these things are developed and cultivated, they lead to a pleasant dwelling in this very life and to mindfulness and clear comprehension. So now you can see, for everyone, whether you are a normal person or once return, never return, arahant, we all got the same thing. You know, we consider this one as impermanent, as subject to suffering, and as not self, and so on. So those 11 parts are there. And arahants do not have to repeat what they have done. But when they do, it leads to pleasant dwelling in this very life and to the mindfulness and clear comprehension. So now you can see there are 11 terms over here. What we are discussing today is how to have this, what is called yoniso manasikara, wise attention. So there are 11 terms, starting from the impermanence, suffering, a disease, and so on. And so when we say five aggregates, form, feeling, perception, volitional formation, and consciousness. So that is five. Five into 11, 55. It is a bit difficult to go through that. Sampati Mahaprabhu is saying a short way of doing this meditation. And Sampati Mahaprabhu told me that before Venerable Kotita and Sariputta had discussion, when Sariputta had a discussion with Sampati Mahaprabhu, out of that one this Dhamma has born. So we know that in we learn first day that birth, age, sickness, death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, and so on. So there are 12 parts over here and there. So if you remove, not to receive what one desire is suffering from that list, then you get 11 terms. And with that, those 11 terms, we can mark this 11. So let us look at that those 11 parts, Dhamma parts, that is birth, aging, sickness, death, and then we have this suffering and sadness, sorrow, lamentation, and then distress, separation from what is pleasing, union with what is displeasing. So we have left the last term over here, not to receive what one desires. Now the first one is impermanent. So did we do that impermanent meditation? We did. That the first meditation you did, contemplating, arising and passing away phenomena, that is there, the first meditation. So now that one is actually coming under what is called contemplation of impermanence. So you have a baby type body, that is birth, and that was subject to aging, and then sickness, and then death. After death, you are in the mind-made body that you have not eaten, so there are these suffering. So you are separated from the baby type body, therefore it is impermanent. So we write down the impermanent under the birth. So that is the first one that we have written down. And then next one is suffering. So you can see aging is suffering. So then we have written down suffering underneath the aging part over here. And then the third one is a disease. So that one goes very well with the sickness. So we have written down disease underneath the sickness. And then the fourth one is the tumor. So you know, if you have a tumor in your body, that you know, then it's possible that you die because of the tumor. So we have written tumor underneath the death. So what is written inside is that the Pali word gandato. So if you have a tumor in your body, then you would be, you know, putting a plaster and covering it up. Why do you do that? You protect it. Why do you like the tumor? No. If it is, you know, it's going to grow, then you might end up with dying. So these things like this derogation and the disparaging, those are tumors. So we that makes sense, you know, to write it down over here. And then the next one is a dart. So dart, we have learned. Remember, we learned physical nutriment. Then the here we are going to the barb of lust. You know, then we are going back to the physical nutriment. And then contact as nutriment. Then we get the barb of hate. And then you are going back to the feeling. Remember, and then the mental volition as nutriment. Then we get the barb of views, and then we go and hold the perception. And then the fourth path, you can remember, barb of delusion is there. And then we go and hold the volitional formations. So since this one is a bigger one, we have written the consciousness as nutriment. Dart is, sallato is written over here. That the barb part you learn, you know, remember that this someone, young girls, young boys, that their hearts are beating scenario. And then the next one is the misery. So it is actually coming under the contemplation of class four suffering. So if you are in the mind-made body that you have not eaten for many days, that is the suffering part over here. So then You feel miserable, isn't it? Because I could not eat for days, years, and so on. So we have written down misery underneath the suffering part. And you, not only you have physical, you know, suffering, you also have the mental one. So the sadness is there. So we join that one to an arrow, a line, so that, you know, the mental as well as the physical both. And then the next one is the affliction. So let us say that your, you know, leg, the doctors have amputated, leg is broken and cut down. And then you are in a wheelchair also, then you would be sort of, you have a sorrow because, you know, other people are walking, I can't walk, and so on. So this is disabled in a sense. So we have written down this sorrow just underneath the affliction, underneath the sorrow. So the disabled person is sorrowing, so we have marked affliction underneath the sorrow. And then next one is the alien. And the alien means that is you are relying on others. For example, a monk depend on alms given by others. And not only monks, you are also dependent. You are sort of dependent on the, you know, the institution that providing you, you know, job and so on. So let us say there is a billionaire and he has got quite a lot of money and, you know, money are there, notes are there. But if there is a starvation time on earth, he can't eat those. A cockroach can eat, but he can't. So you can see we all are dependent on this, you know, food seller. So depending on the vendor. So then, you know, you can see importance of these vendors when there are these things like earthquakes happen. You know, Haiti, there was an earthquake and then they closed shops and went away. People didn't have any food. They had to break in to get that. So we all are dependent on the vendor. So for a vendor to sell those things, somebody has to help him. The truck driver. If truck driver is not bringing food, then he can't sell it. So we are dependent on the truck driver as well. And then for truck driver to bring those things, that someone is helping. That is this farmer. If farmer is not cultivating anything, then truck driver can't bring it. So when the farmer is, so then we are depending on the farmer. When the farmer is doing the farming, then there is a two. There are two things that are helping him. That is this, you know, worms underneath and the flies and all those things. So then we are depending on the worm as well. You see, we thought that we are standing on our feet, that we can live without anyone. But if there are there is any worms, you know, underneath the soil, then we can't live. So we are depending on them as well. You know, the scientists are sort of looking at whether they can go and we can live in another planet. And then they find that we got to have a very small, you know, creature on those planets. Otherwise, we can't. They really do not know what exactly they got to have. They know here and there. So now we are depending on the on worms as well, if they are not there. So now we have written this, the alien part is the parato underneath this, underneath the lamentation in the line of this, you know, column of consciousness. So that means consciousness is depending on something. Consciousness is depending on what? The volitional formations. Volitional formations are the one constructing the consciousness. So then we are talking about the disintegrating. Palokato is the Pali word for that one. there is this Palokadhamma Sutta in Salayatana Samyutta Channavagga. Venerable Ananda is asking Buddha, what is this Palokadhamma? So Buddha is saying, Ananda, this I is disintegrating. Ear is disintegrating. Eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind are disintegrating. So you can sort of understand that you are using spectacles now, that later on you can't do it from that one as well. So eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, the physical things are, you know, decaying, so disintegrating is there. This disintegrating part is that, you know, even if you put a stone outside on the sun, because of the sun rays, you know, you can see that it is sort of splitting and white lines and things coming up. So that sort of thing is disintegrating. So not only this eye, ear, nose, tongue, body are disintegrating, mind is disintegrating as well. In certain discourses, Buddha is saying that mind is intact, mind is not intact. What Buddha meant over there is that, you know, you might have heard that some people at their old age, they commit suicide. So, when someone is trying to do that one, his children talk to me and ask why he is actually trying to do that one, committing suicide. So then I asked Sampati Mahabrahma. Sampati Mahabrahma said it is his mind is getting broken time to time. That, you know, our mind got to align so that we can sort of recognize things as well. You know that, how do you know this one is a chair? You know that your mind and the mental states has to align. If it doesn't align, then, you know, you can't, sort of, you don't, you feel like committing suicide. And Sampati Mahabrahma said after death, his mind will, you know, get together again. And then, as he said, it happened. He was in mind-made body. After death, he commits suicide, hanging from a rope. And then he was in a mind-made body. I talked to him as well. He wanted to come to earth and become a pilot. That's what he wanted to do. So normally we think if someone, you know, commits suicide, then straight away that person is going to hell. It is not so. I mean, there are instances where, you know, love affairs and so on sort of thing, and then they do, and then, you know, they go to hell and so on. But if you have a sickness and you do that one, and it is not necessarily that you go to hell. Now you can see, then when we say eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, so there are five things. So we have given a big weight for that one, and we have marked underneath the distress, that is the disintegrating. So that is actually coming under contemplation of impermanence. And then next one is the empty. So this emptiness we are going to learn with the Chula Sunyata Sutra in your third meditation today. But until that time, let us take an example. Let us say, you know, you in front of you, there is this 32 parts of the body, and so for this particular, you know, excrement, urine and that part over here, that they have given a name called Lalit. So let us take another name, let's take Shan. So you can see this this body, this 32 part, this disgusting body, is empty of the concept called Shan. That is right, isn't it? Because no one is calling this one Shan. So then I write this one in a, you know, in a sentence. This body, this disgusting thing over here, is empty of the concept called Shan. And then having written down that one, then you cut down the word Shan and then you write Lalit over there. Now you read it. This body, this disgusting thing, is empty of the concept called Lalit. That is also correct, isn't it? Because you, if you agree to the word that it is, you know, empty of shan, then it is lalit is another word. So now write down this sentence again, and now you cut down the word lalit, and then put the word I. So umi. So you can say this disgusting thing over here is empty of the, you know, concept called I or me. So, you know, when you are small, your mother, you know, pointing at you, for example, in my case, pointing at and said, Lalit. And mother never told me, you know, pointing out at me or I. So that is we constructed that particular part. So when we get this body, this is empty. You know, nowhere in the body it is marked as, you know, Lalito, I, O, me, that sort of scenario. It is not there. So it is something we have done. So now we can see that particular thing can be, the idea can be explained using this particular arrow. You see, there's a curved arrow over here. What does that actually mean? You had a baby type body, that is birth. And it was subject to aging, sickness, and death. And after death, you are in the mind-made body that you have not eaten, therefore suffering is there. You were separated from the dearly loved body, so therefore the impermanence is there. So when you go down in this line, you can see, column, you can see it is impermanent and suffering. And you go across, you can see birth to aging. So that is the change. So in that case, you can see this particular line is explaining something. That is, if it is impermanent, subject to suffering, and changing, is it befitting for us to regard that one as mine? So that is what is meaning over here. It is, if it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting to regard as mine? If you answer properly, then you go into this the empty thing over here, shunyato. That is this this one. One time it is a fourth jhana, another time it is seventh jhana, and the third time it is the liberation due to mind. So one of these things happen. So you need to write down this particular statement in this arrow. In your diagram, because you are going to meditate on that one. I can tell you there are more than 100 discourses where Buddha is asking from the monk, he pointing at a form or something, then asking, is this, is it impermanent? So they say impermanence. Then Buddha is asking, if it is impermanent, is it suffering or not? Then they say, yes, it is suffering. And then Buddha is asking, if it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting to regard as mine? They say, no, it is not befitting to regard as mine. So you are lucky, you can see this whole thing is explained in this particular line. How do you do that one? You have birth, aging, sickness, death, and after death you are in the mind-made body that you have not eaten, so they are suffering, and you are separated from the dearly loved body, so it is impermanent. So when you go down, it says impermanent and suffering, and you are growing across, that is birth to aging, that means change. So if it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting to regard as mine? It is not. If you answer positively, then you can be either in the fourth jhana or seventh jhana or liberation due to mind. And again, now, as we said that when we take this our body, there is no label called me or I, or it is not written over there. But then the next one is the non-self. So now you can see that you were separated from what is pleasing. You were separated from the baby type body. If you separated from that one, then what you left with? Union with what is displacing. So would you take anything displacing as yours? So not. So then you can say it is non-self. Since I am not taking, you know, whatever displacing things as mine, so therefore I get a non-self over here. And again in Ananya Sappaya Sutra, Buddha is saying that another way that we think shunyamidam attenava attaniyenava. That means it is empty of self and what belonging to self. So you can see that we got the emptiness over here in the number 10. When it is empty, and then you can see it is empty of the self as well. So therefore you get the non-self. One good example is that, let us say, you know, these younger people, they are saying, I will construct a house. This person even does not have a job. This person is saying, I will construct a house. Now he is saying to a friend. So after 2 years or so, that friend is coming back and asking, oh, where is the house? And this person hasn't put even a brick. You know, so if there was a brick, then you can sort of pointing out, now, this is my house. So there is something for a demarcation, you know, that you can label in over there. But even if there is no brick, then you can't actually point out that this is my house. So you can see when it is becoming empty of self, then nothing can be regarded as self over here. Therefore, then we get to the non-self. So in other words, we are coming from number 10 to number 11. Empty of self and empty of what belongs to self. So now we have learned that 11 Dhamma parts, and you have learned first meditation. Your first meditation is contemplating on this arrow. If it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it be fit into regard as mine? It's a very powerful meditation. And then there is another meditation. So for that meditation, I'm going to use this discourse called the Pena Sutta, or the form. On one occasion, the Blessed One was staying among the Arjuns on the banks of the Ganges River. And then there he addressed the monks. Monks, suppose that a large globe of foam were floating down this Ganges River, and a man with a good eyesight were to see it, observe it, and appropriately examine it. To him seeing it, observing it, and appropriately examining it, it would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance would there be in a globe of foam? In the same way, a monk sees, observes, and appropriately examines any form that is past, future, or present, internal or external, blatant or subtle, common or sublime, far or near. To him seeing it, observing it, appropriately examining it, it would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance would there be in form? So in the river, you can see these forms are floating, and then if you even hit it from your finger, it will be breaking. Then there is no, you know, substance inside that one. So in other words, Buddha is comparing this form, you know, that our body form to a lump of form. So next to number one, you can write down form within bracket, lump of form. So form within bracket, you write down, it's just a lump of form. And then again, Buddha is saying, now suppose that in the autumn, when it is raining, in fact, heavy drops, a water bubble, were to appear and disappear on the water, and a man with a good eyesight were to see it, observe it, appropriately examine it, to him, seeing it, observing it, appropriately examining it, it would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance would there be in a water bubble? In the same way, a monk sees, observes, and appropriately examines any feeling that is past, future, or present, either internal or external, latent or subtle, common or sublime, far or near. To him, seeing it, observing it, appropriately examining it, it would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance would there be in feeling? So, Buddha is comparing this water bubble, to this drop, water drops, water bubble appearing, on the rainy day. So water is coming down and then it's creating a flash and then it's disappeared. So feeling is a water bubble. Feeling is a water bubble, isn't it? Remember that 4-year-old boy's story, I said that someone is coming to mother's womb and looking for this woman's happiness. And for a few years, that person got that one. You know that the food is good because milk, soft milk is there and full of nourishment. Even the medicines are there. And then that mother's breast is inside that person's mouth. So soothing effect is there. Thirdly, mother's body is stuck in the baby's body and baby's skin is soft, so get the comfort, warmth and all those things from the mother. And fourthly, mother is looking at the baby with a compassionate eye. And then fifth one is that mother is having a sort of a song, that is good for the ear as well. And what happened, that baby is about 4 years old. Mother got another baby. So then she will boil this potato, rice and all those things you eat. So he can't now, this food crumbs everywhere in the face. Now he's not happy, he wants to come to mom, but can't come because there is his sister or brother is there. And then this what happened when that person become 12 years old. Mother is not touching that person that much. And 20 years or so, mother is not touching at all. And then you see that today also, you have grown up and body wrinkle and so on. But still, the word that is coming to your mind is Oma. The word "oh, mom" has got that, warmth that you got from your mother. That's the protection. Those five kind of happiness. That is what you are really looking for. But you cannot find it. You don't get it. Maybe then you are young. Someone is just touching for a millisecond. And then, having grown old with a wrinkled body, then you are asking for that happiness. You don't get it. So feeling is a water bubble. So we have going to mark that one in the diagram. And then to the next to the suffering part, you can write down on the right side that feeling within right bracket, you can write down is a water bubble. Feeling is a water bubble. It doesn't last. And then Buddha is saying again, now suppose that in the last month of the hot season, a shimmering mirage appears and a man with a good eyesight were to see it, observe it, and appropriately examine it to him, seeing it, observing it, and appropriately examine it, it would appear empty. Void without substance. For what substance would there be in a mirage? In the same way, a monk sees, observe, and appropriately examine, and then, as before, that you can see the whether it's an internal, external, subtle, or whatever, it would appear empty, without substance. For what substance would there be in a perception? So Buddha is comparing this perception to be a mirage. So we can write down that one in the diagram again. So next to the disease number 3, you can write down the perception, and within bracket you write down mirage. Okay, so perception is like a mirage. So let us look at the next one. And now suppose that a man desiring heartwood, in quest of heartwood, seeking heartwood, were to go into a forest carrying a sharp axe. You know, heartwood is, you know, the wood has got a very strong thing inside it, a hard thing, so that is the heartwood. There he would see a large banana tree, straight, young, and of enormous height. He would cut it at the root, and having cut it at the root, would chop off the top. Having chopped off the top, he would peel away the outer skin. Peeling away the outer skin, he wouldn't even find sapwood, to say nothing of heartwood. Then a man with good eyesight would see it, observe it, appropriately examine it. To him, seeing it, observing it, appropriately examining it, it would be empty, void, without substance. For what substance would there be in a banana tree? In the same way, a monk observe and appropriately examine any volitional formation. Fabrications mean volitional formations here. That are past, future, present, internal, subtle, and so on, that they would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance would there be in volitional formation? So Buddha is comparing two volitional formations to a banana trunk. So let us mark that one as well in the diagram, that next to the number 4, you can write down the volitional formations, and within bracket, banana trunk. So this man was looking for heartwood, and then he found a banana tree, and then, you know, cut down the top, cut down the bottom, and remove all the things, and then you find nothing, no heartwood. And again, and the next one, Buddha is saying, now suppose that a magician or magician's apprentice were to display a magic trick at a major intersection, and a man with good eyesight were to see it, observe it, and appropriately examine it. To him, seeing it, observing it, and appropriately examine it, it would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance would there be in a magic trick? In the same way, a monk observe, appropriately examine, and any consciousness that is past, future, or present, internal, external, and so on, it would appear empty, void, without substance. For what substance would there be in consciousness? So, here, a magician is performing some sort of magic trick, and in a, you know, intersection of a fraud. So then this person is actually going there. A man with a good eyesight, he sees that there is nothing over here. It's a, just a magic trick. So Buddha is comparing this consciousness to a magic trick. So see number 5 over here, a dot. So to the right of that one, you can write down consciousness, and within bracket, magic trick. Now, what Buddha is saying, that seeing thus, the well-instructed disciple of the noble ones grows disenchanted with the form, disenchanted with feeling, disenchanted with perception, disenchanted with volitional formations and consciousness. Disenchanted, he grows dispassionate. Through dispassion, he be released, he is released. With release, there is knowledge. His release, he discerns that birth is ended, the holy life is fulfilled, the task done. There is nothing further for this world. In other words, he becomes an arahant. That person actually sees that thing. This death perception is a mirage over here. I also saw this one in my meditation with the concentration. Now you can see there is something, you know, rotating in the middle, this, you know, propeller shaft, coveting and greed, feeling, volitional formation, body type of instances, that is a truth. This one is actually like a glass tube, isn't it? So it's a rotating glass tube, let us say. So now you are actually putting, it says, Buddha said, the form is a lump of form. So just like you are putting petrol to your car, at the point of this coveting and greed, you put that lump of form. And then you rotate this one, you know, this is a barb of lust because this one is rotating. So when you rotate, what will happen? The lump of form is broken, and then you will see in this feeling place little bit of tiny dots inside this one. And then when you come to this perception line over here, then you only see a mirage. Actually, there is no water, you will see mirage. And when you come to the volitional formation point, there is nothing. And on this side, there is this consciousness. So now what consciousness is doing, it is spinning with the barb of delusion. When you spin the barb of delusion, whatever water vapor coming to the right side will go back, and then it will form another lump of form. So going to the right side means what? Death. And then spinning with the barb of delusion means you reconstructed another birth, another form. You know, now people are thinking that this body is very strong. You know, wrestling people, they, you know, show muscles as well. But this one is actually like a lump of form. If you even from your, you can break it from your finger. You know, in Australia, that a person, when he was playing tennis, and he died while playing tennis. In Canberra, that a young person died while running. So we think that this one is a really strong, big thing. And what is Buddha is saying, it is like a lump of form. You can even break from your finger. So now you can see that we were going to the right side because we are spinning over here with the barb of lust, and then the barb of delusion spinning, we come back. So that is after death, you got a body like a lump of form that can be even breaking from your finger. So then you put a lump of form over here and then spin it. And then you say, this form is like a lump of form, this part. And feeling is like a water bubble. Perception like a mirage. And then the volitional formation is like a banana trunk. And the consciousness like a magic trick. So that is your second meditation. And it is a very powerful meditation as well. You see, this this volitional formation like a banana trunk has got a really big meaning in it. You know, sometimes you say, let us say you ask someone to do some sort of a job for you. Can you expect that person would do the job the way you require it? You can't trust, isn't it? And then you are saying, if I did that one, then I would have done it correctly. And then sometimes you sort of, you know, boast that I can create this hoppers. And then you try to create hoppers, and then it is getting stuck in your, you know, the equipment that you are actually making. So you can't do that one. So you can't trust your own volitional formations. I can do this one, you know, it won't come up the same way as before, and you may not be able to construct at all. And now just think about this, the movement that you are going to mother's womb. So sometimes people are looking at this, you know, the man and a woman are there, you are looking at for fun. You know, after death, no ethics, no police, no father, no mother, you know, no relatives. You are just there. You are watching, and nobody is stopping you from doing that. And you are doing that one for fun. And as soon as that man get out of the woman's body, this person sort of see, mind-made body, see some sort of a yellowish thing inside this mother's womb, like a quarter moon or something. And then as soon as you see that one, your consciousness go and establish over there. Then, you know, there's because of these three things here. That's the physical nutriment, birth and feeling. Because of those three things, you know, you are establishing. And then you are thinking, you know, since consciousness, you know, established over there, then you are thinking, oh, wait a minute, I didn't plan to be inside this mother's womb because this mother may be poor or something that you don't like, something characteristic. But now what can you do? You got stuck inside. And now you are thinking, okay, I will construct good eye, good ear, good nose, and so on. But can you do that? Now you have got an eye. Are you sure you can construct another eye that can see? You know, sometimes mother has got eyesight, but the baby that coming from her body is that person does not have the eyesight. It is because you are the one who constructed. If the mother has constructed, she would construct with eye that can see. So you can't even trust your volitional formations. So from these volitional formations that you cannot trust, you construct consciousness. That consciousness is alien. You know, it is depending on this particular volitional formation that you cannot trust. So that is a very strong meditation, that part. So this is your second meditation, the part that's written over here. You spin and then see form is like a lump of fog, the feeling like a water bubble, perception like a mirage, and then volitional formations like a banana trunk and consciousness like a magic trick. So that is the second meditation. And then there is this third meditation as well. For the third meditation, you look at all the paths that can come to number 11. So we learn from number 10, it is empty, therefore that you cannot regard anything, you know, it is empty of self and empty of what belonging to self. So you come non-self over here. And there is another path. Let us look at that particular path. Now, let us say that you are climbing a mountain and you have some water. Halfway through the mountain, you lost your water, you know, finish, and then you are really thirsty and you want to have water. And then you can see some sort of water is there, you know, in that mountain. And then you are climbing over there. And when you go there, it is not actually the water, it was actually showing, it's a mirage. So, no water. So then you are sorrowing, isn't it? So then let us write down over here, number 7, sorrowing perception. So would you take sorrowing perception as mine? I mean, you didn't find the water, there's nothing for you to take. So therefore, again, you become non-self. The perception is a mirage. So you looking for water, you did not get that one. So you have a sorrowing perception. You don't regard the sorrowing perception as mind. Therefore, it is non-self. So over here, we are talking about perception. So probably we better write it down after number 11. Down below, we write down perception. And then there is another part to come to this one. You see, there is this aging, sadness, and union with what is displeasing. Does anyone regard, you know, the aging and as sadness as mine? They are not. So therefore, you get, using this arrow also, you are coming to number 11, to the non-self idea. So now you have come through three arrows. And remember I said, when I come to, if you are saying, if it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it, leave it into regard as mine? When you are coming over here, you are answering this question correctly, then it is fourth jhana, it can be seventh jhana, it can be liberation due to mind. Now, they are actually forming due to these lines, corresponding to those ones. You see, the sadness is a feeling. So if you are not taking feeling as mine, then you get the seventh jhana. So with that understanding, you answer this question. This question is a general one. It is not exactly talking about the form itself. It can be applied to the form, feeling and everything. So if you are not regarding feeling as mine, then you get to the seventh jhana. And here it is, we are talking about perception. If you are not taking perception as mine, in other words, you are answering this question, if it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting to regard as mine with respect to perception, then you are going to the liberation due to mind. So with this understanding, you have to answer. So now we can complete this one a little bit further. So this emptiness over here, we are talking about feeling. So write down underneath this number 10 as feeling, and within bracket you write down non-self. Now you can see we are considering feeling in two different ways. At the number 2, we are saying feeling is suffering. At number 10, we are saying feeling is not self. So two applications are there. And then again, this, when we talk about this number 8, an alien, that means it is belonging to the class of contemplation called non-self. So let us write down non-self underneath number 8 over here. And also, underneath number 9, here we are talking about the contemplation of impermanence. So, here underneath the number 9 is integrating, you write down form and within bracket impermanent. Your eye is impermanent, ear is impermanent. So, form within bracket impermanent. So, for the last meditation, you use all of them, and especially you need to look at the three parts that are coming to number 11. You know, then from the number 10 to 11, and aging sadness, you need it, what is this facing, so you are not regarding as mine, therefore it is empty, non-self, and the perception is a mirage, and then you look for water, you didn't find the water. So sorrow in perception, you are not regarding as mine, therefore non-self. You see, early days when you do these meditations, what you are actually going to get is this wisdom, faith, sense of shame, fear of wrongdoing, the effort and mindfulness. This diagram is called old diagram. So, early days when we do these meditation sessions, not like today, people did not attain to their noble levels that easily. So, by that time, so Sampati, we asked Mahampati Mahabrahma, then he is actually giving a sort of meditation object, meditation thing, subject for that person to do. So one person, Sampati Mahabrahma, asked that person to do this meditation for 7 weeks. And before he started doing the meditation, Sambhaji Mahabrahma showed me his how his mind is working. And underneath this one, Bodhitaya of misapprehension, that doba was very thick. And after 7 weeks, that one became very thin. So with another discourse, this one was broken. So every discourse that Buddha has given, that is a knowledge path that is actually breaking this doba. People do not know about this one. So this doba is right, not actually exactly at over here. I have seen mind of people without enlightenment, that normal people, they have, you know, it coming like a V-shape, physical nutriment coming V-shape, going to the mental version and coming like a W and then going to the consciousness and coming down. The innocent characters normally have, you know, this is going from top, physical nutriment, perception, volition, consciousness, and it is L-shape. It is coming down over here. So when someone is asking Buddha for a meditation object, something called Kamatham, and Buddha is always looking at that person's mind and then give this meditation to cut down, you know, to break the bar. You know, if there is a wall over here, if you want to cut down, break it, then you hit from this side, outside, and from the top, and so on. So likewise, that I can give you one, show you one meditation is called craving meditation over here. And the Buddha says, among the extreme point of craving to become is not apparent. So that one may say, craving to become was not before. It has since come to be. And this statement, monk is made, nevertheless, this thing is apparent. Craving to become means conditioned by this or that. I declare, monk, craving to become has its nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment of craving to become? Ignorance should be the reply. Ignorance, I declare, monk, has nutriment. It is not without nutriment. And what is the nutriment for ignorance? The 5 hindrances. So you can see this ignorance would be marked over here instead of wisdom over here. And then the 5 hindrances, the sensual desire is marked over here. So in other words, what we actually do, we went through this doba once from the right to the left. And then again, say, and I declare, monk, that 5 hindrances have their nutriment and are not without nutriment. What is the nutriment of the 5 hindrances? The 3 wrong ways of practice. So these 3 wrong ways of practice means that, you know, lying, hands, speech, and so on. So it is on the right side. So from this one, we are coming to that side again. So you are hitting the door again. And again, says, these 3 wrong ways of practice, they do have nutriment. What are they? Non-restraint of the sense faculties. So you can see the restraint. Faculty restraint is over here. Non-restraint is also on the same spot over here. So then again, you are coming from the right to the left. So breaking that one. So likewise, this meditation also, you know, hitting this doba. You know, for we construct mind formations for feeling. So before we construct in the number 10 what we are actually saying, it is not mine. It is like you have this, you know, wood pieces, metal and bricks and so on to construct a house. And then having reached there, you are saying none of these are mine. And then that is number 10. And then you construct that one using the perception. So when you come to 11, you are saying it is not mine. What you construct is the consciousness. And number 8, you are saying it is not mine, not self. So you can see it is actually breaking this door 3 times. So how do we do the meditation? This is the first meditation, very powerful meditation. We are looking at this arrow. So you had a baby type body, birth. It was subject to aging, sickness and death. After death, you are in the mind-made body. You have no kin, so it's suffering. And you are separated from the dearly loved body, so it's impermanent. So when we go down, it says impermanent and suffering. And going to right side, it is aging. So that is changing. So now this arrow is saying, if it is impermanent, subject to suffering and change, is it befitting to regard as mine? If you answer positively, then you get, can be fourth jhana, it can be seventh jhana, it can be liberation due to mind. That with what understanding you are saying this one. That is the first meditation. For the second meditation, you know this one is rotating and this is the propeller shaft or drive shaft. So you put a lump of foam and then you rotate it. From the barber plus you spin it. And then when it comes to feeling that water, the lump of foam is broken, and then you will see some dots of water here. And then when you come to the perception, you only see a mirage, no water. And the volitional formations level, there is nothing. So there is this magician on the right side. He is saying, look, there was a really nice thing happened over here, that there was a mirage coming here. So now he is actually spinning with the bulb of delusion. So the water vapor came to the right side, will go back and then form a lump of foam. And that is your life. Going to the right means death. And then spinning with the bulb of delusion means you got another birth. And that birth, you can see, can be broken from your even finger. As I said, that someone in Canberra, while young person running, that person died while running. So we think that this is a really good, strong body. So you put a water lump of foam over here and then you spin and then says foam is like a lump of foam. Feeling like a water bubble, it doesn't last. Perception is like a mirage. Volitional formations like a banana trunk. Consciousness like a magic trick. So those are the, that is the second meditation. For the third meditation, you look at the how to arrive at, that's number 11, in various ways. So from number 10, we are coming to number 11. Because when it is empty, then it is empty of self and what belongs to self. And then we can see you are looking for water, you are climbing that mountain and then you don't have any more water. You see some sort of a water place and then you go there and then it's actually a mirage. There is no water, then sorrowing perception. Sorrowing perception no one is taking as mine, therefore it is non-self. And the aching sadness union with what is displacing. So that means nobody is taking this aching and sadness as mine, thus therefore it is non-self. And together with this, you know, number 10, feeling, non-self. And then the number 8, non-self part, I mentioned that, you know, volitional formation, you can't trust your own volitional formations, that moment that you are going to birth. So, and then you add this disintegrating part over here, form impermanent, that completes the third meditation. So let us take 20 minutes or so for you to have a discussion and then we will do meditation.